We are risen indeed. Alleluia. Don't worry, we'll have another chance at that one. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which engages us this morning is from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, which reads as follows. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. This is our text. He was serene, settled, and secure until one day the bottom dropped out. He relocated his family and began a new chapter in life. As a result, he witnessed increased tension in his marriage. His firstborn son had it and left home. He warned his nephew's wife to no avail. She died as a result. And his secondborn son came within inches of death. In spite of it all, the scripture says of Avram, he believed in Yahweh and he credited it to him as tzedakah, righteousness. You can't keep a good man down. His first call began with high hopes, courageous convictions, until one day the bottom dropped out. His sermons were cut up, literally. His office became the bottom of a pit, literally. His name was hardly one associated with pastoral success. Magor Misaviv, terror on every side. He was a limp rag doll in the mouths of snarling Dobermans. But in spite of it all, Jeremiah the prophet confesses of the coming Davidic king, this is the name by which you will be called, Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. You see, you can't keep a good man down. It's exactly what our text says. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Proverbs pictures reality in terms of two ways and only two ways. For example, in chapters 2 and 3, there's the wise son and the foolish son. In chapter 4, there's the path of light and the way of deep darkness. Chapter 9, Lady Wisdom, Dame Folly. But this way of looking at reality in two ways is classically portrayed in our text. The way of the tzaddik, the righteous, and the way of the reshaim, the wicked. And the wicked are consumed with one word, one four-letter word. One word straight from the pit of hell. Quit. It says the wicked are brought down by calamity. It's too hard. It's too painful. It's too tough. I won't get up. I won't try again. I'm throwing in the towel. I quit. And this propensity to quit is so evident in your life and mine. When calamity comes, we shrink our shoulders. We look like we've been baptized in lemon juice. We begin thinking and speaking and acting with small faith, abandoned dreams, lukewarm joy. Oh, we know the marathon metaphors, don't we? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. But you and I so often are deceived into thinking that this is a sprint rather than a marathon. And calamity comes, and you and I quit. As a parish pastor, I became somewhat used to the idea that after confirmation, young people, some of them would just quit. And after marriage counseling, husbands and wives would look at their marriage and many of them would just quit. And elders sometimes would just quit and fellow pastors would get burned out and quit. But the worst of all looking at my own life and looking at the calamity that experienced in my parsonage and looking at the passionless life settling for that four-letter word, quit. Do not be deceived. You and I are simul tzaddik et rasha. We are simultaneously saints and sinners. And this rasha, this wickedness, this unregenerate flesh, this old man looks at calamities in church life and seminary life and family life and shrugs the shoulders and says, it's too hard, it's too painful, it's too tough. I'm throwing in the towel, I give up, I quit. And our culture is littered in the landscape with the devastations of quitters. But remember, Proverbs looks at reality in terms of two ways. The reshaim, true, the wicked, the quitters that are brought down by calamity, but also the tzaddik, the righteous. And Proverbs is not, emphasize not, a collection of all historical, all religious, all liturgical texts. It's not an anthology of timeless, secular, humanistic truths. Rather, it's even in our texts that this tzaddik person is surrounded in the book of Proverbs by ideas of prayers and vows and atonements and sacred lots and worship. It means even in our text, this righteous person has a righteousness that isn't earned or deserved, but it's given. Just like Genesis 15:6. Avram believed in Yahweh, and he credited it to him as tzedakah, righteousness. You see, this standing is credited, given, gift. It's just like Jeremiah 23:6. This is the name by which you will be called, Yahweh Tzidkenu. Yahweh is our righteousness. It's not inherent in me at all. He's the source of my righteousness from Alpha to Omega. And though stylistic Hebrew poetry, to have the Rasha in the plural, Rasha'im, in our texts, and the Tzaddik in the singular, linguistically, this is interesting, but theologically, it's tremendous, because there are many Rasha'im, look around, but climactically, theologically, there is only one tzaddik, one righteous man. And though this righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Defeat couldn't keep him down. Took its best shot. Luke 22, there arose a dispute among them as to which of them was the greatest. Oh, great. Ministry defeat. Big time. Mark 14, he arose and found them again sleeping. Relational defeat. His best friends. Mark 15, they put a purple robe on him, twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. That is public defeat. And Matthew 27, you know it. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Total defeat. But it couldn't keep him down. Then the devil tried, didn't he? Beginning with Herod's butchering of babies at Bethlehem. And then the thricefold, if you are the Son of God. And then in staccato-like fashion, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. And then when our Jesus screamed, Tetelestai, it's finished, all the demons of hell said, that's it. The ultimate calamity. We slam dunked him, pinned to the mat. He's down and out. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Climactically, death couldn't keep this righteous man down. Peter, on Pentecost, Acts 2:24. What a verse! But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The ultimate mission impossible. Move over, Peter Graves. Put him in a tomb. Lock it, guard it, seal it. Put Roman soldiers there. Mission impossible. Though this righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again, bodily, physically, forever. Death has no more dominion over him. There is nothing dead about our Jesus. Nothing in all creation could keep this God-man down. And the result? From St. Paul. He was delivered over to death for our sins, but raised again for our justification, our righteousness. From Luther, that I may serve him in everlasting righteousness. From Melanchthon, Apology, Article 4. Not a righteousness earned or infused or deserved, but a righteousness that is forensic, juridical, extranos, alienum. Not an active righteousness on my part, but passive, sheer, free, total gift. From our baptismal liturgy, receive this white garment to show that Christ has taken away and borne your sins and put upon you his perfect righteousness. So shall you in faith ever stand before him. And from our liturgy, and from our hymnody, just take your pick. My favorite is this, thy strong word bespeaks us righteous. This righteous standing is purchased in blood, sealed in resurrection, and delivered in word and sacrament. The result, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Though these righteous men and women here fall 7 times, we are forgiven and loved and Holy Spirit empowered to rise again and again and again and again. The result? Quits is no longer our vocabulary. It wasn't Abraham's. It wasn't in Jeremiah's. It wasn't in Paul's. It surely wasn't in the vocabulary of our Lord. So this is the goal today. Get an X-Acto knife and go to every dictionary you own. Start with English. Go Greek, Latin, Aramaic, Ugaritic, Spanish, French, even Hebrew. And cut out the word quit. As people who have been baptized, delivered, and are heaven-bound, we won't back up, let up, slow up. And we won't ever, ever, ever give up. One more time. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We are risen. We are risen indeed. Alleluia. Paul presses the pen hard when he writes at the end of the great resurrection chapter, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.